This is Combat Central with Peter Klein and G. Rana on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Welcome to a landmark night in the industry of sports entertainment.
One final time, Combat Central is on the air on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Peter Klein, G. Rana with you today. As I announced in the 9 last night, or yesterday.
Last night, 9
in the morning. Felt like nighttime. This is the final episode of Combat Central here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. So we're going to be playing some of our old hits, not recap things. It's all new stuff.
Yeah.
But Mark the Shark DiCarlo is stopping by, and Mr. Boxing in Calgary.
Friend of the program.
Yes, friendliest friend. I would say those are probably our two most frequent guests.
Absolutely.
Them and probably Mike Sempervivi.
We've had a lot of friends of the show.
We have. This has been a really. We'll save the reminiscing for the end.
All right.
But this has been quite the ride.
Yes.
And we take one last ride on this program today. As we mentioned, those two guests. Plus, we're going out with a bang. We don't just, last episode, let's phone it in.
No.
Nah. We bring in one of the hottest stars in indie pro wrestling of last year and now in Ring of Honor this year.
Just straight reinventing himself. Left,
PCO.
Right, yes.
Hopping on the show today. Mr. PCO. Yeah. I am so looking forward to that conversation. It's going to be an absolute blast. Once again, on social media, I am at Primetime Klein.
I'm at G_Rana on Twitter.
Let's start the show the way we did pretty much every show, and that is with the news of the week. While there are changes coming to this show, changes coming to the WWE creative staff as well. Arn Anderson is out. I don't know how much he had to do with the creative aspect of things necessarily, but Arn Anderson is out. In comes Bruce Pritchard. And Mrs. Ultimate Warrior. Not going to speak ill of the latter, as we have no idea. Maybe she is a professional wrestling creative genius. Who knows?
Who knows? Let's talk about Arn Anderson for a while.
Though. Okay.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Shocking. And you could tell it took the wrestlers, the WWE performers by surprise as well, because on Twitter, everybody was just like, this guy, like Arn Anderson, is the funniest guy in the world if you ever talk to him or all this stuff. And it took a lot of people by surprise.
Yeah.
It took me by surprise as well, because it's just like, this is one of the original Four Horsemen.
Yeah.
And
he's a Hall of Famer.
Yes. Why?
Yeah. We'll talk about AEW coming up in here in a little bit.
Ooh.
I would have, if they wanted to do an authority figure on AEW, I would have him as my commissioner or GM or whatever night one.
Oh, absolutely.
Can I help you?
Just going out there.
I like you listen to the promos he cut in the Four Horsemen, and I heard John Pollock say this week. You don't lose that.
No.
Like he hasn't been an on-screen character for a while, and maybe that's my choice. I don't know. But
straight up, you don't lose that, and you also don't lose that classic spine buster.
Oh!
The best spine buster.
That is art.
Oh,
that spine buster.
My God.
So yes, quite the change there, going from Arn Anderson to Mrs. Ultimate Warrior.
But
for
also
sure.
Bruce Pritchard in there now.
Yeah, Bruce Pritchard coming back. I will admit I am a fan of the Something to Wrestle podcast. Something to Wrestle With podcast.
I take it or leave it.
I like the reminiscing.
Oh, all right.
You know? Yeah. And you hear him talk about some different creative things, and there are things I agree with him on and some things I vehemently disagree with him on.
Sure.
But the thing that I like about this move is he is a wrestling guy,
sure.
You know?
Yep.
And it's not, I don't know how well he did, but it's not a Freddie Prinze Jr. or something like that. It's not a Hollywood
Warrior's wife.
Not that. It is someone who thinks wrestling, and when you listen to him go back and rewatch some of the shows that he was a part of creatively, to listen to him talk about the logic that he wanted to bring, I am at least interested, because we had talked about it for a while. It was basically the theme of the life of this show. Creatively speaking, things could be better in WWE right now.
Oh, right. Oh, my God.
And so a change, I don't mind a change.
I don't mind the change. The one thing, though, that I am very curious about are the handcuffs that will be put in place on creative, because we see it all the time. And I understand Bruce Pritchard has been in the industry for a very long time.
Yes.
But this isn't an indie show. This isn't some podunk show. This is the WWE. This is the largest wrestling show on the planet.
Yeah.
They're publicly traded, and seeing some of the creative handcuffs put on a lot of these writers and a lot of these performers, quite frankly,
yep.
it's not only interesting, but it's also, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do with this? And so that's what I'm kind of curious about, is if they actually put some creative handcuffs on Bruce Pritchard and his ideas.
Yeah, well, and the biggest thing for me is how much of a proponent he is of unscripted promos.
Sure, yes.
Which
I think everybody would love.
Yes, everyone. The only person who doesn't want it is the guy who matters and the guy who's in charge.
And Ronda Rousey.
And Ronda Rousey. No, I don't think she's... I think she's hating the scripted promos.
Yeah, I guess.
She's dying a slow, painful death with those scripted promos.
Oh, my God, I love Becky Lynch on Twitter. Did you...
Yeah.
Oh...
That was quite the thing.
That was,
It here, but we may as well talk about it.
Yeah, hey, listener, if you have no idea what Pete and I are gushing about right now, Becky Lynch basically just made Ronda Rousey look like a sheer amateur in every facet of everything about her on Twitter. It was pure and utter desolation, like just decimation. It was absolutely incredible.
Yeah, just an unbelievable back and forth that they have been getting into.
So I'm gonna put some censored handcuffs on you. Do you have everything lined up in front of you, like the tweets or whatever?
I do not. I'm trying to find them.
Okay. It's apparently they got in trouble for it though.
Did they?
Yeah. WWE. Okay. Obviously, WWE is not a huge fan of swearing in your social media and and all of that.
Yeah, there isn't really a spot here I can quickly pull up where it's just like one after the other. It's just a lot of reaction to,
So basically, I'm going to summarize this as best as possible. Ronda Rousey came after Becky Lynch for a myriad of reasons, for like faking a mugshot or whatever. Becky Lynch then said, "Hey, don't use the F word, fake." Ronda Rousey was just like, "Hey, just like fake, like your arm bar." Ronda Rousey then puts up the picture of when SmackDown invaded Raw and Becky Lynch had Ronda Rousey in her disarm her.
Yeah.
Put that picture and said, "Hey, your armbar sucks." So something along the lines of, "Your armbar sucks. It's fake. Anybody can get out of it." Becky Lynch then retorts back with, okay, hold on. Going back to that first one, Ronda Rousey implied that Becky Lynch has a dingle dangle.
Mm.
A men's dingle dangle, yes. Because Becky Lynch goes by The Man and Ronda Rousey does not know how the internet works.
Or how
people would react to that. Becky Lynch then reacted to a photoshopped face of Travis Brown, the husband of Ronda Rousey, on the tip of the arm.
Mm-hmm.
Implying that the dingle dangle was, of course, a Travis Brown.
Yeah.
And the internet went wild.
Yes, it did. A lot happened in there. It is...
Again, I tried to summarize it as best as possible.
Yes, no, and I think you did as well as you could, given that we have to censor almost all of it.
Almost all
of it. Yeah, just absolutely crazy. I don't know how much more we can get into with that.
Okay.
Kind of pivoting from the Bruce Pritchard point, he is not getting rid of the Something Arrested With podcast, which I...
I was kind of curious about that.
Yeah. Someone who might be getting into that world. Mm. Trademarks have been filed for the name Talking, or Dead Man Talking, which apparently is just the name of a European tour for The Undertaker and a speaking tour.
Okay.
I would listen to the hell out of a Undertaker podcast.
It would be hilarious for me because this guy has made an entire career off of a gimmick of not talking.
Yeah.
Of just being a stoic, scary ass individual. And even when he did talk, even when he did have the mic, not the best, not the best. But I mean, we've seen other people do podcasts and I've been like, oh, they weren't so great on the mic. But their content is fantastic. But yes, yeah. I'm with you on this. Can you imagine if him and Stone Cold teamed up to put like a Texas podcast of wrestling or something?
Yeah.
Add Shawn Michaels into the fold.
It would be like, I don't.
Heavens to Betsy.
I don't know if I want Undertaker to just have a weekly interview thing the way Stone Cold does.
Yeah.
Like that would be weird. But like doing the Something to Wrestle With type of thing or 83 Weeks that Eric Bischoff does, where you go back and like get the Undertaker's perspective on old shows as someone who is like the guy in the locker room and just to hear the stories he could tell.
Yeah.
My Lord.
I would love to hear his wrestler's court stories.
Yes.
I'm sure there would be some things that you can't tell because you got to protect the business. So I've heard from a lot of people.
Yeah.
But it would be hilarious and it would be just And not just the wrestler's court, but seeing how his mind kind of approaches certain matches, like getting into the mindset of how he did his Ric Flair match, how he went with the double Shawn Michaels, the feud with Edge, you know.
There's a lot that you could cover with that guy.
Absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, hey, if it's just a speaking tour, that's pretty sweet anyways.
Yeah.
He's like, I think his wife, Michelle McCool, has kind of like broken him out of his shell because we see him now like on Twitter or Instagram or whatever. And I think a lot of that just has to do with the fact that I hope that he's retired. I hope that he does not come back.
Because no, I agree with that.
It's sad.
Yes.
Oof.
Also, in the world of New Japan, they have revealed the bracket for the New Japan Cup.
Yes.
This will start coming up next week at Korakuen Hall. A few matchups of note, a few names of note. Juice Robinson against, first of all, there's 32 in this this year's tournament, which is
a lot.
Huge.
I see why they did it, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's some pretty good names in this for sure. The Friday, March the 8th, Tomohiro Ishii against Yuji Nagata.
Thought he retired, but all right.
Yeah. Well, do you ever really retire in New Japan? You just kind of go to 8-man tags at the start of the show.
That's
basically retirement.
You can, or you can do commentary.
Yeah.
But even then, it's just...
I mean, we don't know that.
No, we don't. Yeah. I mean, I try to, but my Japanese is very... not good.
Yeah, mine's non-existent.
Well, I tried to learn Japanese.
I know you did, and I'm impressed by that. Yeah. Nick Miller from NXT, from The Mighty, now going by...
Mikey Nichols.
Mikey Nichols.
That's what he was called way back in the day, too.
Yeah, when they were The Mighty Don't Kneel.
Yeah.
He will be on this. Kazuchika Okada against Michael Elgin. Will Ospreay against Bad Luck Fale. I don't think you could get two more opposite performers to go against each other.
Ooh, Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Shota Umino.
Yeah, oof. That'll be good. Kota Ibushi against Tetsuya Naito is quite the round one matchup there. Evil against Zack Sabre Jr. Hirooki Goto against Sonata. And David
Makabe versus Colt Cabana.
Yes, Colt Cabana against Makabe is interesting.
Also, you just mentioned Hirooki Goto versus Sonata. I have big things planned for, like, in my head.
Okay.
I'm hoping... New Japan has some big things planned for Sonata. Mm-hmm. Sonata, to me, has everything.
Yeah.
He's a handsome guy.
He
can work. His theme is just something out of, like, Tokyo Drift remixed, and it's absolutely fantastic. I love it. I hope they do something big with Sonata.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Davey Boy Smith Jr. in this as well, as he takes on Toru Yano on Monday, March 11th in Kagawa. So an interesting bracket for sure. Last year, they go completely off the board with a Zack Sabre Jr. victory.
Mm-hmm.
We will see where they go with it this year.
Which is good. I mean, it kind of put British wrestling on the Japanese map.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and that kind of was the culmination, I thought, of a pretty good stretch for Zack Sabre Jr. I thought after that,
absolutely.
I thought after that kind of fell off a little bit, but a good build up for him anyway.
And I will say, I know we have a lot to talk about, but like, him versus Okada was just fantastic because you have these two very drastic styles. Zack Sabre being one of the most technically sound wrestlers on the face of the planet. And then Okada, who can do everything. And it was a fantastic match.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
This kind of spins off into a Double or Nothing conversation.
Ooh.
We talked before we came on the air. Mm. You have an idea for who Cody Rhodes might be facing at Double or Nothing. This is your last shot to
shoot it.
So go for it.
Shoot your shot, kid. By the way, Double or Nothing, have we mentioned the fact that it sold out in 4 minutes?
We have not, and that's incredible.
4 minutes.
Yeah.
All in sold out in less than 30 minutes. This is 4 minutes at a Vegas show.
Yeah.
And Vegas, not known for wrestling.
No. This isn't at, like, Sam's Pub in Las Vegas.
No.
This is MGM.
Yes. 4 minutes. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Oof. But... so you know me, you Pete,
I do.
You know me, you know how I follow the Young Bucks and on the YouTube channel.
On the YouTubes, yes.
On the YouTubes. Just an old 30-year-old man being the elite. But they also have this kind of spin-off show with Cody and his own show. It's called American or Nightmare Family. And so they've been doing these kind of little short, not films, but very short little movies of sorts leading up to Double or Nothing. And Cody has yet to mention his opponent or yet to announce his opponent. Every time he does on the Nightmare Family show, they blur it out or they censor the name. This is just me. I've been picking up on a lot of things, and maybe it's just lack of sleep. I've had about 10 hours this week.
Oof.
In total. Yeah. I picked up on a certain thing. One of the creative guys around Cody, or one of the producers who always kind of follows Cody around or whatever, is eating an apple. And he is eating an apple constantly.
Hmm.
If you know anything about wrestling, you know there's one guy who has made the apple somewhat famous.
Yep.
And he's not wrestling in WWE. He's on the independent scene right now. I'm talking about Carlito.
He spits in the face of people who don't want to be cool.
Yeah. This is just something I picked up on.
Okay.
I don't know if that's where they're going. Who knows? They might swerve us all and it be like Ty Dillinger or something who asked for his release.
Yep.
Or Ambrose. I don't think it's going to be Ambrose. But yeah, Carlito, maybe.
That would be fun. I imagine we see Ty Dillinger at some point when this is a cool thing to say. When we talked to Cody Rhodes on this show.
Friend of the show,
Cody Rhodes.
I talked to him about comic books.
You talked to him about comic books?
Yeah, how awesome that was?
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
It's pretty sweet.
It's pretty sweet.
But we mentioned Ty Dillinger because he had not been called up at that time. And they are obviously quite close.
Yes.
So I would imagine that is a name that we see pop up in AEW. I know they don't want to go the WWE retreads route, but I think there are a few in the pipeline that you could go with.
Yeah, and especially if you already have like a rapport with one of the head ups, I guess now, with AEW, and that being Cody, because he's known Ty Dillinger for years.
Yeah.
You know, and they go way back.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone views Ty Dillinger as a WWE guy.
No.
I think he was a guy who was in WWE, but not like a quote-unquote WWE guy, the way TNA did that.
Not a Vince guy.
No, well, he certainly wasn't a Vince guy. No. I think that was
quite apparent.
Yeah, that was pretty obvious. Lastly, ONE Championship announcing the signing of former UFC light heavyweight champion Vitor Belfort.
Shocking.
This is a perfect. Give him all the steroids. Oh, just let's bring back TRT Tour 2.0.
TRT Tour 2.0, but like, okay.
Give me HGH Tour.
So you know how since we've been doing this show, I have this thing where I call my boys being people who I've trained with, people who I know, specifically in MMA. Well, that's pretty much my thing.
Yeah.
And kickboxing. So I want Vitor Belfort to look bigger than what my boy Alistair Overeem looked like.
Yeah. Overeem?
When he was Overeem. When he was eating quote unquote horse meat.
Yeah.
Like it was going out of style.
Give him all the horse meat.
Can you imagine?
Oh, like just load him up.
Jesus.
I don't know how, like,
his arms are going to be looking like a freaking roadmap.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Give me that. Give me all of that.
Not healthy, but hey.
A bit of a sadder note to close out the news of the week on, as the career of Mirko Krokop has come to an end.
Yeah.
He announced his retirement. He suffered a stroke after his last fight, so getting punched in the head isn't probably the way
kicked
to be going
head,
about
man.
Things. Yeah.
He's one of the most premier kickboxers in the history of the sport. He was actually one of the reasons why I got into MMA and kickboxing in the first place, because watching him way back in the day on Pride and just right kick hospital, left kick cemetery. That was his go-to and he did it.
Yeah.
He's always been one of my heroes and I'm so glad that he's actually stepping away from this because we hear it all the time. And I've said it all the time on the show with MMA specifically. I hate seeing guys who are past their prime still do it. I completely understand why they do it, because that sport is crazy. And when it has a hold on you, it's tough to let go, believe me. But I really hope that this is a sign that he just steps away and stays away.
Yeah, it is scary that it's coming at the hands of a stroke.
Yeah.
But he does end his career on a 10-fight winning streak, which is, I think,
all you can ask for.
I would have lost that trivia question for sure. Yeah. But
just a pure legend.
Yeah, it's too bad we're right up against it. But, like, one of the all-time great careers for a heavyweight.
Yes.
Like that, the matchup with Fedor is the most anticipated heavyweight fight in MMA, and probably was for a good 5 to 10 years afterwards.
And you know, prior to that, his fight with Big Nog, Nogueira, I thought that was fantastic in Pride.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is just, he will go down as a legend. It sucks that his UFC career did not really pan out the way it should. I mean,
no.
That Gabriel Gonzaga fight was just kind of oof.
Yeah.
If that was an indicator as to how much wear and tear this guy has taken, it was,
Yeah, that was tough.
Oh.
That was because that was kind of a gimme for him. That was supposed to be, okay, take this one, go fight the heavyweight champion. Mm-hmm. And he never really clicked in the UFC and was able to afterwards. So an unfortunate end, but truly one of the great careers of all time in heavyweight mixed martial arts. Time for us to take a break here on the show. When we come back, PCO, we chat with the legend, former Quebecer, now in Villain Enterprises and Ring of Honor.
Marty Skrull.
We will chat with PCO next here on Combat Central on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Combat Central continues with G. Rana and Peter Klein on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
We are now a month away from the biggest weekend on the wrestling calendar. Part of that is a huge moment for Ring of Honor as they go to Madison Square Garden. Here to chat about that and a lot more, someone who you may know from the Quebecers, but he has put together one of the coolest runs we have seen in professional wrestling, maybe ever. We are joined by PCO. Mr. PCO, how are you today?
Hey, I'm great. Yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you very much. You're going back to Madison Square Garden to wrestle WrestleMania weekend for Ring of Honor. How you feeling? Madison Square Garden's a big stage. How you feeling going into that?
I'm feeling pretty well, actually. I'm pretty excited about it. I mean, going back there for me, because I had a few matches against Bret Hart there. I think one of them like, was probably a main event there against Bret. And then won the tag titles there also. So it's been like a building where I had success. It's been a building where I've had fun and a very prestigious building and one of my favorite buildings in the world.
And for wrestling fans, like it has the nickname The Mecca, and wrestling fans, I think, would agree that it is probably the biggest building in professional wrestling, sports, entertainment, whatever you want to call it. From a wrestler's perspective, it sounds like you hold it in that same reverence.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the same. I mean, you know, like so many artists perform there. You know, like every great artist has been there. And just walking backstage there and seeing the picture of all the famous people that have been there, you know, it gives you goosebumps just before you get into the ring. So, yeah, now going back there with, you know, the way that I'm going to go there, the French-Canadian Frankenstein PCO, it's pretty amazing.
The French-Canadian Frankenstein, PCO, as you mentioned, that is the character you portray now. How did that character come about? Because that is a hard turn from the last time when we saw you on television. How did this character come about?
Well, this character it's really like a larger scale of my personality, of my identity, of who I am, really. And I think that's why I'm having so much success with it, because it's really who I am. And I mean, I've always like been pretty tough, you know, to my body and things like that. Always like been pretty much like a guy who takes a lot of risk in the ring and don't hesitate to put his own body at stake to, you know, in order to get what I want to give the other guy. If it means hurting myself as much as hurting the other guy, I'm taking the risk because I know I can take it, and I know that he probably won't be able to take it. So that's why it's a character that's really myself. And previously before that in my career, sometimes I was doing things and people was wondering, why is he doing that? And now if people are asking, why is he doing that? But people will tell them, what, because he's not human. So everything makes a full circle. It makes sense. So
we have seen at times guys who have been in the wrestling business for as long as you have kind of tone things down and be the guy in the back. You get two bumps tonight, kid. Use them wisely. You don't. It's two bumps in 30 seconds for you. Like you're not doing that. Is there? Why? I guess my question would be, why not? Like why keep doing it the way you're doing?
I guess because first of all, I enjoy doing it like that. I always like taking bumps. So I'm a big bumper. Like, you know, it's something that I enjoy a lot. I don't know, like, big bumps are big crazy things. Like, well, for instance, my the moonsault. You know, I really like the feeling that I'm having. You know, like I'm climbing. You know, like I weigh like it 2,000, probably 1,000 pounds, 2,000 pounds. It's like, you know, crushing the first ropes, crushing the second ropes, crushing the top ropes, getting up on the top rope, and then jumping up in the air backwards, and then everybody thinks, okay, he won't make it. He won't make it. It's not going to pass. Not going to pass. And at the last second, everything passed. And I landed so heavy. And then it goes boom. But the feeling I got while I'm twisting in the air, while I'm landing the moonsault, and while I'm hitting the other guy on the mat. I mean, this is one of the greatest feeling ever. And it's like that. Like sometimes, you know, when I go for, let's say a swanton bomb on the apron and the guy moves out of the way, or either I hit the guy or not, it depends sometimes, but it's always like, for me, it gives me a great sensation, you know. It's I really love what I'm doing. That's the thing, you know. That's why I can't tone it down, because if there's one thing I think I've been toning up, you know, so it's such a passion for me. I'm having so much fun doing what I do that I can't help myself. I always want to give more and give more and give more.
And as wrestling fans, we greatly appreciate that. And it certainly comes across in your work as we chat here with PCO ahead of Ring of Honor show next month at Madison Square Garden. This is Combat Central. I'm Peter Klein. He's G Rana.
Mr. PCO, it's G Rana here. So at the end of last year, you signed an exclusive deal with ROH. What separated ROH from other independent companies for you?
For me, it's pretty cool. I'm not human, but I like their human side. yeah, they've been pretty much like, and they are like that with all their talents. But the way that they approach me, and first of all, it was like, they proposed to me the Villain Enterprises, which is me, Marty Scurll, and Brody King. Marty Scurll I knew from 2008 while I was touring in England for a year. I had the chance to know him very well. Brody King, I knew him from the whole year last year. I've been like feuding with him. I've been like meeting him all over the world and on different occasions. And I knew the chemistry was going to be insane between the three of us. So that was one big positive for me. But on top of that, it's like, okay, they said, we really like PCO, the French-Canadian Frankenstein. We really want to work on that and make it bigger than it already is, and bigger than life and larger than life. And we really want to work end and ends with the talent. Like, we don't want to impose anything that's not that you're not going to feel good about it. And we don't want to do that with you. We don't want to do that with any of our talents. We always ask for creative ideas, and we want to share ideas together, and we want to work together. And that was something that really got me to think, this is a perfect fit for me.
Now, you mentioned Villain Enterprises in there. What was your initial reaction when ROH or even Marty Scurll kind of came up to you with this new idea of this new stable? What went through your head?
I mean, I was always a big fan of big faction in pro wrestling. Obviously I like NWO. I like, you know, a lot of other things like that. And I thought the three of us could really be like the biggest faction in pro wrestling in 2019, 2020. So, I knew that it was going to be good. I knew it already, you know, when they proposed that, it's something that really got me going big time. And on top of increasing everything about my own character as well. So for me, it was something that I couldn't refuse.
Now, you being a veteran of this industry, you know, you've worked for WWF at the time, WCW, ECW. The story so far in the world of wrestling this year is AEW. What are your thoughts on this new promotion?
Well, for sure, they'll do good. That's I can't see them like failing because with Kenny, Cody, the Bucks, and everyone else, and a bunch of guys that they signed, they're going to be good. But we don't know how it's going to come out or how it's going to come across because they're starting really for real in 2020. So, you know, that's only next year. So they're going to have like a few shows this year, 2019. I think they already got guys under contract. They're getting paid starting this year. Like the guys are getting paid for 2019 all the way to 2020, monthly payoff or whatever. But, you know, is it going to be an hour a week, like 2 hours a week? It's going to be like a tape show. What kind of storylines are you going to have? How everybody's going to get along together over there? There's a lot of guys. And there's other guys, and they're all part of the office. So I think they're good friends. So I don't think they're not going to get along together, but it's going to be interesting to see who's going to do what and what's going to do what and what's going to be the storylines and who's going to come out like across like very popular and how things are going to evolve for them. But I just to see the in-ring product on TV, you know, that's the thing that everybody's waiting for, I guess. I mean, all their fans.
Just a couple more here with PCO as we continue our conversation on Combat Central and Sportsnet 960 The Fan. The PCO character is one you came up with. Was there any sort of hesitation about locking in with a certain company and different creative things that they might make you do? Was it a little, I guess, nerve-wracking to go to a different promotion after you've done so much on your own?
The question is a good question because you think about something like that. It's because now, before that, you have like the you're free to basically go wherever you want to go and to take bookings wherever you want to take them. So if you're working 4 days a week, then if there's a company that you don't like the way they've been treating you, the way they're using you or something like that, or you're not happy with something, you can always like choose other companies because there's so many on the indies. That it gives you like a lot of freedom. But, you know, that's the thing too. Like, you know, when I sat down with Ring of Honor, I wanted to make sure that we were all thinking like in the same direction. We're all going and thinking in the same direction, and I've been really happy since I've signed there. And there's not one day so far that I've regretted my choice. You know, it was like pretty much like every company were involved in the process of who I was going to sign with, and then if I decided to go with them, it's because my strongest feeling, my gut feeling, was to go with them. And so far, I made the right choice.
You have done a remarkable amount in the world of professional wrestling. Three-time WWF Tag Team Champion, winning the Hardcore Championship in WCW. As you mentioned, Madison Square Garden with Bret Hart, winning the tag team titles at Madison Square Garden. Now you've created one of the more interesting characters in pro wrestling, and you're with Ring of Honor at a peak time for them. What more is there to do on the PCO list? Is there something you haven't done that you'd like to check off on this last run?
Well, of course. If not, I wouldn't be there. You know, the only reason why I'm still involved in this business and why I'm still like performing the way I do is because I want to be the main attraction. You know, I want to draw big crowds. I want to have a run where, you know, I want to pack up buildings, and I want to do good on ratings and on merchandising and things like that. And I think we haven't seen like it's just the point of the iceberg right now that we have seen. I think everything is start rocketing right now, and I think it's going to emerge, you know, soon. And the Garden will amplify a lot of things. The Madison Square Garden will amplify the character a lot more, and there'll be more people aware of it. And then I think it's just a matter of time before everything exploded into something really huge.
And as I mentioned, this has been one of the coolest stories to follow in pro wrestling for the last couple of years. Congratulations on all your success. Thank you for doing this today. And can't wait to see what craziness you have planned for the future.
Thank you so much, sir.
I appreciate it a lot. Thanks for the opportunity. And hopefully I'll be seeing you guys on the road somewhere.
Look forward to it. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, there you go, PCO. That was really cool.
That was really cool. We were talking about prior to the interview. We're about to... Our last interview on the show is going to be one half of the Quebecers.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Like, and it's crazy. Like, the career arc of that guy.
Mm-hmm.
The Quebecers does a single run against Bret Hart for a little bit, goes into WCW, wins their hardcore championship.
Does some work in ECW as well.
Yeah, goes on the indies for a little bit, comes back, and is one of the most talked about characters in pro wrestling.
Yes.
Like, it is just... such a ride for that guy, and kudos to him. You hear in there, it's like, well, if I wanted to do less, I'd do less, but I'm still having fun.
No,
he's 51,
I mean,
talking about doing Swanton on the apron.
And he loves it.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Oh. That's incredible. And that's good news, because we always hear about wrestlers from the heyday and, you know, how their lives have kind of dipped and went in weird directions and sad stories nowadays. But with PCO, this guy is... he's reinventing himself. He's Chris Jericho-ing himself.
Yes.
And especially with this new fashion that he has with a villain enterprise with ROH. That's what a way to keep your name out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Time for us to take a break here on the show. When we come back, one of the more intriguing weeks in WWE, we will talk about some big returns. Coming up next here on Combat Central on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Combat Central continues with G. Rana and Peter Klein on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
If we're going to do a last episode of Combat Central, we have to have Mark the Shark DiCarlo on. CWE coming back to Calgary April 13th. It's going to be a Saturday show. It's going to be a lot of fun. Psychosis is going to be there, and our next guest is going to be there as well. Mark the Shark DiCarlo joins us now. Shark, how are you today?
Calgary Crusher, Peter Klein, Klein at 9, and of many other capacities on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 960. Don't worry, the Regina Rocket will get my invoice for the pumping up of Peter Klein. I'm great, Peter. I'm absolutely fantastic. It's warm in the Shark compound today, although it's freezing cold outside here in Calgary. But thanks for the great lead-in. Yes, Canadian Wrestling's Elite, our 10th anniversary tour. This time on Saturday, April the 13th, new venue, one time only at the number one Legion downtown, right on the C train line. So everybody can get there. And if you're driving, it's underground, heated, secure parking for the low, low price of only $5. And what a great tour and show it is. Once again, Hotshot Danny Duggan and the powers that be at CWE have put together an stack card to recognize that this is the 10th anniversary of Canada's only national independent wrestling company. And as you mentioned, Peter, Lucha Libre superstar. If there was a Hall of Fame for Lucha Libre performers, you can be rest assured that the one and only, the inimitable Psychosis would be in it. And for those of you that aren't old enough to know who Psychosis is, I invite you to venture onto YouTube and check out arguably one of the greatest Lucha Libre performers of all time. I put him right up there with Rey Mysterio Jr. And the rest of the masked Lucha Libre performers out of Mexico, CMLL and AAA. And, you know, he's still working. He's still wrestling, and he will be wrestling on the CWE 10th anniversary tour. Usually the last few headliners, such as Jake the Snake Roberts and Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff and Ron Simmons, Farouk, they've all been in a capacity of special guest enforcer at ringside. But this time, Psychosis will be wrestling. So he is a one-of-a-kind performer as far as his athleticism, and he can still go. And like I say, I invite everybody to check out some of his work. Just search Psychosis on YouTube. There is a top 100 moves of Psychosis that I came across about a month ago that's phenomenal. Most of the work in that expose was in WCW, as in back in the Monday Night War days, the cruiserweights were a big part of what happened in WCW, and we are ecstatic to have Psychosis, as well as our co-headliner, former Ring of Honor World Television Champion and former WWE agent, Jimmy Jacobs, will be on the tour as well, and here at the Number One Legion downtown on Saturday night, April the 13th, for CWE's 10th anniversary tour. And Peter, I understand that you're busy that night and unfortunately will be unable to attend.
Yes, I will be. I'm out of the country that night, actually. We are on our way back from Mexico that day. So I will not be able to attend, unfortunately, which is too bad because I've always liked Psychosis. Even going back to his time in ECW, I was a big fan. And Jimmy Jacobs, just his creativity blows me away. So I am very upset that I'm missing out on this one.
Well, and we have somebody else that goes by the moniker of the Crusher, the Canadian Crusher, AJ Sanchez, who, when I made him aware of the fact that you weren't going to be here in Calgary on Saturday, April the 13th, he solicited me to send you a message. Would you like to be in receipt of it now?
I would love to, yes.
He said, and I quote, "You tell that ripoff artist that I am the only Crusher in Canada in wrestling, and that pseudo radio announcer, great face for radio, Peter Klein, the Calgary Crusher, has an open invitation to come and announce and get in the ring with the Canadian Crusher, AJ Sanchez, whenever you so choose, maybe the next time that CWE is here in Calgary." I know that he doesn't want to have a match with you, because that wouldn't go well for you, Peter.
No, it would not. No, he's very good.
But he wants to have a bit of a conversation with you in ring on the microphone. And I reminded AJ Sanchez how eloquent and snake tongue you are, whereby he might have to watch what he's going to say, because you're pretty slick.
Well, he's pretty slick too. I will give him that. It's unfortunate that I've rubbed him the wrong way, but if it's a war of words that he wants, then I guess at some point it's a war of words he's going to get.
Well, and that would be worth the price of admission alone.
Well, and again, he is as well. He's one of the, and again, it's too bad that he feels that way, because I feel talent-wise, he's one of the more talented ones that comes through with the CWE. It's just unfortunate he has a bit of a skewed representation of me.
Well, I think he made some comment to him one time where he took it the wrong way, so I tried to enlighten him as to the fact that you really didn't mean anything by it, and he simply ended the conversation by telling me to shut up. But we'll have to address that whenever time permits. But, you know, the rest of the CWE roster is from around the world. We have, of course, the current and reigning CWE heavyweight champion, the one and only hotshot Danny Duggan, will be on the card. The CWE tag team champions, AJ Sanchez and his tag team partner, if they still have the belts when they stroll into Calgary on April 13th, they'll be on the card. Canadian strongman Tyler Colton. And there will be some surprises. And I'm always surprised by the talent level of Canadian wrestling's elite when it goes on tour. These tours, this will be the biggest tour that the company has undertaken in its 10-year history. Last time it was like 35 shows in 35 days. This time it's 41 shows in 41 days. And this time, our inaugural show in Vancouver at the Ukrainian Center in Richmond, and all the way in the East, teaming up with Smash Wrestling out of Toronto. And we're going to be doing our first show in Toronto. So all points between, check it out on cwewrestling.ca or on any of our social media channels on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. And the tour is extensive, and we're very happy to once again be bringing Canada's only independent national wrestling company to Calgary on Saturday night, April the 13th. And what's interesting and what's very unique about CWE, Peter, and for all the good listeners of Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 960 here on Combat Zone Central, is the fact that you're going to see wrestlers, performers, sports entertainers, no matter what you want to call them, that you're not going to see in the other companies that generally have shows in Western Canada. That's mm-hmm. a really neat thing about CWE. And Peter, you've been to enough shows to see that for yourself. And we've got a very diehard core base of fans that have supported us over the years. And, you know, you can get your tickets for the Saturday, April the 13th show, CWETickets.com, and it will be on sale soon. And we'll make an announcement on our social media channels next week. The tickets will go on sale in person here in Calgary at our after party sponsored location, which is the Border Crossing on 36th Street in the Northeast. And tickets will be on sale soon there. But if you want to get them now, it's CWETickets.com and ensure your spot for the 10th anniversary tour here at the number one Legion downtown on Saturday, April the 13th.
It should be a great show. Shark, thank you for doing this today. One of my favorite parts about doing the show for the last couple of years was the relationship we developed with CWE, and having you on all the time has been an absolute blast. So thank you so much for doing this, and I'm sure we will chat very soon.
Well, thank you so much, Peter. And I would like to say before I go that, in fact, the powers that be at Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 960, and Program Director Kelly Kirsch and yourself and Herc and Rana have been fantastic with us here at CWE. And, you know, speaking on behalf of the wrestling fans of the listenership of the Fan 960, we have all appreciated what you and the station have done for the exposure of professional wrestling in this marketplace and on your radio station. It's going to be missed, but I understand that there will be some cameo appearances or some specials of Combat Zone Central, and we look forward to that. And once again, Peter, thanks so much on behalf of everybody at Canadian Wrestling's Elite for the exposure that you've given us on a regular basis. And on behalf of all of the wrestling fans in and around Calgary, we really appreciate all the work you guys have done. Thank you.
Hey, it was our honor. It was happy to do it. There's a lot of great, talented people out there, and happy we were able to get a bit of a spotlight on them as the years went on. Shark, thank you so much for this, man. Really appreciate it. And like I said, we'll chat soon.
Absolutely. Don't forget your sunscreen when you go to Mexico.
I don't think it's going to help.
Take care.
So there you go, Mark the Shark DiCarlo stopping by one final time again. It was very fitting to have him on the program. When we come back, another friend of the program stopping by as Mr. Boxing in Calgary, Michael Short. They have big things coming for a local fighter and a local show coming up this month. We will chat with him about that and so much more as the final edition of Combat Central continues here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Combat Central continues with G. Rana and Peter Klein on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
A very noteworthy week from the WWE as we are on the road to Fastlane. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Peter. He is G. We were talking during the break, but this being our last show, I think both of us were kind of prepared to maybe take a step back from following WWE as closely as we were.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden,
we had one of the best Raws that we've seen in a while.
These jerks go out and do that.
And not only that, but SmackDown as well was... Storyline-wise,
yeah,
very intriguing.
Very intriguing. So, what the heck? We've been doing this for...
Since I came back in 2016.
Yeah.
We've been doing this for almost, well, more than 2 years.
Yeah.
Every time that we break down Raw and SmackDown, I get accused of being a very Debbie Downer because WWE is whatever. Then we get this.
Yeah.
On the last damn show that we ever do.
The best... week the WWE's had maybe in 3 years.
Get out of here. What absolute, you know what?
Yeah, it's like they knew. We'll start with how Raw started this week, mm-hmm. as Roman Reigns announces his cancer was in remission. First of all, if you were someone who tweeted that boo to this news and that you were upset because you didn't like the Roman Reigns character.
Get you know what.
Yeah, you don't need to do that.
No.
We get it. You don't like him. Doesn't mean you need, this is a real person.
This is a real person. It's not a character.
No.
And it's what we said when it was announced in October. Damn, that. Yeah. In October.
This was real life, yep. And I am thrilled that this guy is coming back and getting the reactions that he is.
Absolutely.
And
you know what? Hasn't lost a step. Because we saw him on Raw, and he still has his spear, still has Superman punch. The guy can still go.
And he is in shape.
And still in shape. I have heard, though, that he's not going to be doing house shows that often. He will be on the European tour.
Okay,
but he's not going to be doing the house shows that often. He is scheduled to appear on all the Raws, so I mean, yeah, that's good.
That's fine. That's all he needs to be right now. You can, if you need him to get back on the house show circuit at some point, that's fine. But this is very much an easing back. Just whatever you can do, we will do. But let's not push this thing any further. I had a thought, and I don't know. This isn't going to happen, and I don't know how much legs there would be to this. I would just use his real name now. Like this was a real thing.
Yes,
this was like a whole. People gravitated to it, and absolutely. People have really latched onto it.
Yep.
It feels weird now to call him by a character name.
Yeah. I like it.
It's not going to happen.
No, just because, I mean, it's WWE. They've already spent so much money and effort.
Roman Empire.
All that. So, I mean, it would be a great little touch just to really humanize this guy because...
Yeah, and that's what I thought.
In terms of just booking, they have not done a great job in humanizing Roman Reigns as a character or even as a person.
Yeah.
This, as sad as it was, but it really brought down the character to a point where... People who are suffering from whatever they are.
Yeah.
Whether it be cancer, whether it be whatever. You know, you always want something to relate to. This brought that character to a place where anybody can be like, I can relate to
this guy. That's the thing. Like, we're getting to a point where we're appreciating this man on a human level. Why not use his human name?
Sure, but absolutely.
I can see why they wouldn't.
And they already have another Joe who is of Samoa.
I remember the Samoa Joe against the Samoan Joe.
Yes.
Where does he fit in creatively now? I would imagine we get some form of Shield thing coming up at Fastlane.
Yeah.
That obviously can't work at WrestleMania as one of the members of the Shield is kind of in a thing.
Yeah.
So where would you pencil him in for WrestleMania?
Okay. Have you been hearing about the same type of Dean Ambrose news that I've kind of been hearing about, like, they've kind of moved back, like, he's still scheduled to appear after he's asked for his release?
I wondered this going in.
See?
When that sort of thing gets released that early, it's like,
see?
There's still time here.
And the way that they released it, and we've talked about it, when it was the first thing that we talked about, 4 or 5 weeks ago, when it was first announced, I still think that this is fake. I still think that's fake.
I don't know if it's fake, but maybe there's a changing of the mind here.
Maybe,
at least.
But it was just like, it was unprecedented the way that WWE brought this about.
I would have thought it would have been fake if they would have mentioned something about it on TV. But they didn't do a CM Punk type of, hey, my contract is up soon. And maybe they do that going into Mania.
Sure,
I don't know.
But I think, like, well, the only reason why I bring up Dean Ambrose is I can totally see Roman kind of being like, hey, Dean, what are you doing? Get back together. Let's just do our thing.
Yeah.
Let's just do what we used to do.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, this Dean character has just been a complete and total letdown.
Yeah, that heel turn didn't work.
Absolutely not. Like, he had this weird gas mask. He started saying, hey, you all smell, and it made him all, like, goofy and stuff, and this is just, get out of here.
Yeah, so now they're obviously pulling the plug on that one pretty quick.
Sure,
turning him babyface. I would imagine at Fastlane we get the Shield against
The
Dogs of War minus Dolph Ziggler featuring Bobby Lashley.
The Nation, or no, not the League of Nations 2.0.
Yeah, basically, yes. Yeah. But for WrestleMania, I don't know where he would fit in. Obviously, things are changing creatively quite a bit.
I'll be honest with you. And this is just me, and you can hate me for saying it, I don't want to see him in the main event.
No.
I really don't.
Brock Lesnar, Seth Rollins needs to say the main event.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
I really hope so.
Yeah. You want people to turn on this guy. Well, that would be the way to do it. Maybe a Roman Drew McIntyre thing.
Yeah. You know, like, WrestleMania is 8 freaking hours. You can easily put something like, as you mentioned, a McIntyre versus Reigns.
Yeah.
Or a Lashley versus Reigns. Whatever it is. I just don't want to see Reigns in the main event. This has to be Seth versus Braun.
Yeah, this has to be Seth's time.
Yeah.
I think he very much deserves it,
yes,
for sure.
The
only way I would want Roman in there is if Dean is as well, and you get kind of like the Shield has a match at Fastlane. They all turn. Dean splits things up somehow.
Again.
And you get the three of them. It like Seth wants Dean, but he also wants the title, so Dean gets in, and then Roman gets, and you have a fatal four way with the Shield guys featuring Brock Lesnar, and it's a match that way.
That'd be so weird.
It'd be weird, but it would be, I mean, it'd be a way to, like, you could do, because I don't want Brock Lesnar anywhere near the
WWE.
No,
absolutely not. No.
So in my mind, maybe do an elimination match and have Brock be done in like 30 seconds. Like they all do like dirty deeds into a curb stomp into a spear. Brock is pinned 1, 2, 3, and then let these guys go to town.
Yeah.
Let's kind of like an
basically
old,
make it a triple threat.
An old ECW style thing where they do the triple threat elimination match and the champion gets eliminated first. So now it's like, oh
yeah,
my God, we're having a new champion.
Yeah. Like triple threat works.
Yeah.
After Brock is out there. But I still think, I just want one on one Seth versus Brock.
Yep.
That's it.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on this McIntyre versus Reigns, because when McIntyre showed up on the main roster last year, everybody, and me included, was just like, this is the guy.
Yeah.
This is the next guy.
Yes.
And why not have Reigns versus McIntyre?
Yeah. You know? I think that would be a very big step for McIntyre, for sure. The other big angle, there's a lot that happened on Raw that we're not going to have time to cover because we are covering both shows.
Yes.
Batista's back.
How do you like that?
I thought it was a weird, like, I liked it. It was so unexpected and so out there. And the, do I have your attention now?
Yes.
A couple thoughts on it.
Why is Ric Flair so red?
Well, because he's getting choked. And he's always red. Like,
I know. It was just like, whoa, that is abnormally red.
It was a good contrast. You had Red Flair and Blue Tista. Sure. It was a good contrast.
Not going to miss this.
But yeah. What I didn't like was that the way they had it set up, unless you're telling me that that Brock Lesnar pre-taped this
and we finally
saw it, is Ric Flair was going to be late anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So Batista's plan was banking on Ric Flair being late to the thing and going into his locker room. That it was a minor thing, and I'm being too nitpicky because overall I thought that was, no one saw it coming, and it was completely out of nowhere. I do wonder about turning the guy who is a lovable character in a movie heel. I don't know if people are ready to boo Batista over cheering Triple H, but this is a hell of a way to start it. Overall, it was fantastic.
Guy, they're not going to boo Batista, because at Mania, when Triple H takes on Batista, Batista's going to walk out as Drax.
And, he's going to have the whole thing.
Yeah, and Triple H is going to walk out as Thanos. On a bike.
Yeah.
With Motorhead blaring in the back.
Yeah. Overall, though, like I'm critiquing it. I thought it was tremendously well done.
Oh, absolutely.
Like just a legitimate surprise and a great way to start WrestleMania.
I was just going to say, and again, you did not see it coming because we had Shawn Michaels show up. We had Triple H, obviously.
Sting.
Sting's in there now. Well, not in there now, but like, yeah, he was there. Jinder Mahal got jobbed.
Yeah. That was another thing. Not having Ric Flair go out there for the live audience
was weird.
Would have been, and apparently he didn't come out after.
No. And I kept on hearing like, yeah, he didn't show up after the show was done. So
yeah,
it was just like,
that's not how I would have done that.
No,
but again, it worked.
Yeah.
And someone, I think it was the Cage Side Seats account, which we should have had someone on there from there.
Yeah,
I
that's a
them
great
enough.
Twitter account.
It
I
is.
Love it.
They said more like Ricky Dreamboat. Am I right?
Oh my God, that guy hasn't aged at all.
If I'm looking that good when I'm that old, I've done something right. That guy, he could still go.
Oh, absolutely. He has not aged.
No,
he's
remember
not aged.
It was like 10 years ago now. Mm. But the build up to WrestleMania 25. And then they have the three legends against Chris Jericho. And the first two, it's like, oh, geez.
Yeah.
And then Steamboat goes out and rocks like a 3-star match against him. It's like, what the hell is going on here?
It's that dragon blood, bro.
Yeah.
It's that dragon blood.
Overall, though, Raw, I thought
Raw
was really, really, really good.
Raw was fantastic. The weirdest part was, we mentioned it in News of the Week with Becky Lynch getting arrested.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of weird. And then Ronda Rousey just putting the title on the ground. I really, really do not. Okay, so this is just me. I'm obviously looking forward, or not forward. I'm looking towards something. Really don't want Steph McMahon anywhere near the title picture.
Oh, no, and she's not going to be.
I really hope not.
No.
But no, this it's the authority, and you know how they like to do it.
It's a triple threat match.
Yes.
It's funny how, and this is brought up on Post Wrestling this week, it's funny how we went from, we don't want Charlotte Flair anywhere near this match, to the crowd was chanting triple threat. Wait, are you kidding me? They got us! They got us! We don't like to be got, and they got us. We didn't even realize we got.
No,
and then we got.
Well, the only reason why they're chanting triple threat is because Becky Lynch is not anywhere near. Want to see Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
We want to see Becky Lynch.
And that's how they got us to get excited for the triple threat match.
Honestly, I'm not excited. Like, I don't want Charlotte in there. I just want Becky versus Ronda. But I get it.
Charlotte's doing a hell of a job. This has been the best run for Charlotte Flair.
She's doing great. But for me, it's always been Becky versus Ronda.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. I don't mind Charlotte being in there. Like, sure. She is the star as well. And it's going to be great.
Yeah.
And I liked.
Has to main event, though.
Totally. 100% has to main event. Yeah. I liked the words that Ronda said. I wasn't a big fan of how they were
said. The delivery.
Said. Yeah, yes. But what's the point of having a championship if we're just going to defend it against handpicked challengers? Sure. I thought like the meaning of the promo and everything was actually really well done. We also have a change on SmackDown this week as Kevin Owens returns and takes Kofi Kingston's spot.
With some sweet new tattoos.
Yeah. Dude got tatted up in his time away.
He's got some tattoos.
Don't mind that. Yep. Don't hate it.
Great at bowling, but...
Nope. His kid steals money from him.
Doesn't like pineapple on pizza.
He needs to come back and get that money because his kid keeps stealing his change. Yep. He's going to be fighting...
Because they put pineapple on the pizza and he's not a fan of that.
Yeah. He's going to be fighting Daniel Bryan now for the...
Okay.
WWE Championship.
The Hampionship.
Yeah.
The Hampionship.
I like that.
Let's break down this entire segment right now.
Okay.
Love the fact that as soon as Kofi Kingston came out, everybody was on their feet.
Yeah.
Everybody should be. Kofi is one of the most underrated talents we have ever seen.
Friend of the program.
Yeah.
That's
your get. No, don't worry about it. One of the most underrated talents WWE has ever had.
Yep.
The pop and the excitement that he got was fantastic. As soon as he got in the ring, Big E stole the show. Just hugged Stephanie McMahon like she was a little child.
Yeah.
Did the exact same thing to Shane. The thing that I absolutely loved about this, and we'll get to why Kevin replaced Kofi.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan said nothing. Just stoic.
Yep.
Stone cold look on his face, just stared at and just looked, said nothing.
Yeah.
Loved it.
So good.
Same thing with Kevin Owens. When he came out there, when he was at the ring, showed up in the ring, took his seat, signed, said nothing.
Yeah.
Just stared at Daniel Bryan. Love that little detail.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic.
So good.
Now, the reasoning. Okay. We didn't get a reasoning. All we got was just...
Box office.
But yeah, that was it. That was it. Great. Thanks, Vince.
Yeah.
Okay. So if this does not lead into a triple threat, this is a waste. It has to lead into a triple threat, in my opinion.
To me... It's leading to Kofi Kingston getting a title match at WrestleMania.
Sure.
That's what this is leading to.
Okay, so by triple threat, I mean at Fastlane or whatever it is. Or, you know, a SmackDown leading up to Mania or whatever. Kofi needs to be in the title picture.
Yeah.
And if he isn't, this is a waste.
Yes, no, for sure. But I think the way I took this was, Kofi's getting a title match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I took it the exact same way, too.
It's what it needs to lead to, though,
has
for
to.
Sure.
Has yeah. to.
No, I
has to.
I agree. And I would even, like, if you wanted to do, Kofi needs to beat Challenger A, B, and C.
Yeah, it's exactly what they did with Daniel Bryan a few years ago.
Yeah.
And it worked.
I wouldn't mind that even a little bit. No, and it's funny. I didn't think in 2019 people would be like, Kevin Owens against Daniel Bryan for the WWE Championship? Well, I am upset.
Okay.
It's funny, like, over the last 12 months, we've been saying, you know, I think they really need to get the WWE Championship off of AJ Styles.
Yeah.
And this Kevin Owens against Daniel Bryan match for the WWE Championship, there's a better option out there. It's funny how the wrestling world can turn a little bit. But no, I think this ends with a Kofi Kingston title match at WrestleMania.
Yes. The thing that I absolutely love, though, on SmackDown, the amount of characters and amount of storylines that we have out of this. Because remember, Kofi had to replace an injured Mustafa Ali. Where is he now? Where does he fall in the picture when he returns? That's intriguing. Yeah. That's excellent.
Totally.
would love to say that the NXT call-ups have been excellent, but the way that they have been brought up, not so great.
Better this week than last week? You get at least video things for them and stuff like that? I don't get why Aleister Black and Ricochet are a tag team. I don't understand that at all. But, I mean, they're talents that should be on the main roster, and they're on the main roster.
Sure. Except for Lacey Evans. What is she doing?
Just walked in. Yeah, that's a good point.
Walks out.
Well, yeah. I mean, Lacey Evans, EC3.
That's it.
EC3 lost to Apollo Crews on main event this week.
They did.
And Nikki Cross is somewhere. Yeah. She was on the ramp for the Ric Flair thing, and that was about it.
Sweet.
That's going to do it for this segment. When we come back, another friend of the program joins the show, or our first friend of the program, sorry, joins the show as Mark the Shark DiCarlo stops by for one final interview on the final episode of Combat Central here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Combat Central continues with G. Rana and Peter Klein on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It would not be the final edition of Combat Central without a conversation with our most frequent guest. He is Mr. Boxing in Calgary, Michael Short from Dakota. Mr. Boxing, it has been a fun ride chatting with you this whole way. How's it going today?
Hey, it's going awesome. It's always good to hear from you guys. Too bad it'll be in the future on another show, but hey, it's all good. Still doing Mr. Boxing all the way.
Absolutely, and you're going to be a busy man here, as it is now officially fight month for Dakota and for one of the prides of Dakota. We'll chat about all of that coming up here in the next few minutes. We'll start with Candy Wyatt. We chatted with her a couple weeks ago as she gets ready for a world title bout. How is all of that going as we get ready for Candy Wyatt's fight coming up?
You know what? It's business as usual in their camp. They're not going to really change too much. So Kevin knows what he's doing. Hey, he was my last coach, actually, as an amateur boxer in 1986. Wow. And also, and part of her team is, of course, Dale Cowboy Brown. Dale fought three times for the world title. In fact, one of his chances was on a semi-main event under Oscar De La Hoya at Mandalay Bay. So they know what they're doing. They know what they're up against, and I trust that she's in good hands.
Does the process change much going from fights on the regional scene, building up that record, to now going on the big stage of a world title fight? Does that process for Candy change at all?
You know, it kind of does a little bit, right? But she's got a deep amateur pedigree, over 10 years in amateur boxing. She built up a record of, I think, 47-5. And she's traveled overseas before. She's fought in Europe in the amateurs, traveling with the national team. So for her, it's not foreign. She knows what it's all about. It's just now that, you know, the stakes are a lot higher. There's a world title pending and 10 rounds. That's, you know, it's going to be on her head a little bit, but we expect her to be victorious here.
When did you know she was ready for this type of opportunity?
You know, she's been pending already because she's been ranked number one in North America. I think since her sixth fight, she was ranked number one in all across North America. So we knew it would be coming up soon. There's been a couple offers with much heavier girls at 154 pounds, and we didn't want to do that yet. We don't have to. So, you know, she's got a chance to fight for a 140-pound championship. If she's victorious, she can defend it. She can move up to 147. She can also move down to 135. She has the capability of making 135 pounds. But eventually she can go all across the board from 135 up to maybe 154, 160. But, you know, there's no reason to rush her. So we will bide our time and go one step at a time.
It has been obviously quite the run for her getting to this opportunity. Just absolutely incredible performance after incredible performance. Is there, that being said, that there is no perfect fighter, is there something that you'd like to see her improve upon going into a world title bout?
You know, we'd like to see her box from the outside a little bit better. She's got, like I said, deep amateur pedigree, so we'd like to see her, you know, utilize her jab a little more and box from the outside. And I know they're working on that in camp as well. There's no reason for her to get in tight and always fight a dog fight. You know, we want to have a long career with her, but you know, again, the coaching, they know what they're doing, so they're working on these details.
From a selfish perspective, I mean, we know this is the point of Dakota Contender, to build up contenders from Calgary for the future, but selfishly, it has to be a little, I don't know if hurtful, not hurtful. It's obviously an amazing opportunity, but you have to be wishing that you had Candy Wyatt at the top of your card instead of going off into a different country a little bit, hey?
Yeah, you know, that was the intention. Right off the bat, after her last fight, we announced that she'd be headlining March 30th, and then this opportunity came up. It's March 24th, so it's actually a Sunday show in Athens, Greece, and we're not going to turn it down. It's a great opportunity. The money is pretty decent, and we just shuffle a deck on our end locally, but Candy will be in attendance on March 30th, and hopefully she's showing off a nice big red and gold strap.
Well, I know a lot of people here are hoping that they get to see that as well as we chat with Mr. Boxing in Calgary, Michael Short, here on the series finale of Combat Central on Sportsnet 960. The Fan, I'm Peter Klein. He's G. Rana.
Pete, every time you say that, a little part of me dies.
Sorry.
But yeah, Mike, it's G here. Without giving too much away, do you already have something in store for Candy after this Grease fight?
You know, what we're going to do is see if she's victorious, and if she is, then, of course, we're going to look for her first title defense. There's something in my head already about a call-out, and it's something that's been pending that we want to do. And if she's victorious, this call-out is going to make sense. If she comes back with a loss, even if she gets hustled out of a decision, you know, she hometown decision, whatever you want to call it, but if she loses, we're going to have to take a step back and regroup, get her back in the win column, and make her famous again. So it's, you know, either way, we've always got something covered. We know what we're going to do next, give or take what happens in the fight. So,
perfect. Now, at the end of this month, Dakota Contender Series at the Deerfoot Inn Casino, who are some of the guys and gals on the card that you think that fans should be looking out for?
You know, of course, Jordan McNaughton.
Sure. Yep.
He got the loudest pop at the last show. He turned professional. His previous fight to that was his last amateur bout in Calgary. He was victorious. He called me out and he says, "Hey, I want to turn pro."
Yep.
And that's exactly what Dakota Contender is all about. We put him in with a fairly stiff opponent, and you know, I told his coach, I said, "Look, this guy for sure is going to go the distance with Jordan, but it's going to be a great rude awakening for him into pro boxing, you know, to go four hard rounds against a tough journeyman opponent." Well, Jordan took him out in the second round, and, you know, in good fashion, too. He was sitting down on his punches. He was going to the body well, so fantastic performance. The other thing we got is a couple Battle of Alberta in the ring again, and this time features two veterans, Ted Reno. He's owner of his own little boxing studio, 10 Street Boxing Gym on Kensington. He's putting local bragging rights up against a true veteran, Anthony Lessard. He's a proud member of Local 92, and he's bringing a lot of fans with him from that union. And the other Battle of Alberta features Stephanie Asenza against Vanessa Bradford. And, you know, Stephanie's a fan favorite locally here. She's a Red Deer native. And Vanessa Bradford's coming off a tough loss to world-ranked Michaela Meyer, who fights for Top Rank Boxing, and that fight was on ESPN. So it's a stack card. And we've also got a couple professional K-1-style kickboxing matches and two amateur as well. So it's going to be hot.
Love the fact that you guys have K-1 in there, because I remember the last time Pete and I were there, K-1 was not there. So it's always nice to see the creme de la creme of kickboxing kind of...
Well, you know who we got on this show, right?
Tell me.
Okay. Jake Peacock is turning professional. This kid's a real hot sensation amateur. He runs a gym, Dunamis Muay Thai on Center Street. He's a phenomenal athlete. He's fighting a kid with 15 professional fights already, and this is Jake's debut. We've also got Mark the Cyborg McKinnon. So he's going up against Tim Lowe. Now, if you know anything about kickboxing, you know that those two guys are probably the hottest fight this side of the country. Tim Lowe comes out of a Rashi Do studio up in Sherwood Park, and Mark McKinnon, of course, is now out of Elite. But two monster athletes, they look phenomenal, and it's three rounds of fury in K-1-style kickboxing.
Love it. Sign me up right now. Yeah. Can't wait.
A couple more here with Mr. Boxing in Calgary, Michael Short, as we wind down here on the, again, final edition of... Sorry, I'm just saying.
Right.
Well, it's leading into my next question. One of my... I think one of the great relationships we've built here over the couple years that we've done this is the relationship with Dakota. I just want to get your overall thoughts on the health of the sport of boxing as our show exits, but obviously Dakota continues here into 2019.
Yeah, you know, we're proving that boxing is still a thing in Calgary. There's a lot of people out there, and now that they know that we're here, you know, our last event, we sold out 1 week in advance. That was in spite of a local hockey game. There was a UFC pay-per-view and a Manny Pacquiao fight. And in the past, those three things combined could have probably crushed a local show. But it sold out 1 week early, and, you know, it's really, really getting there. Ever since we've been on the scene, boxing has been a lot more popular in Calgary. All these studios have popped up all over the place. On the world stage, you know, there's a lot more money coming into boxing with companies like DAZN and ESPN with their apps and signing all these big fights up. So... the health of boxing always will and always maintain, and it's always going to be a thing. And it's just, you know, there's a lot more things to gather your attention now, and boxing is now one of those things that's really gathering people's attention. So we're happy and excited to continue with Dakota Contender at the Deerfoot Inn and Casino, and again, making it a grown-up thing to do on a Saturday night.
The next show is March 30th, as you mentioned, at Deerfoot Inn and Casino. Get your tickets at Dakota.ca. Don't want you to give away too many secrets or anything like that, but what's the next step? By the time 2019 comes to a close, where do you want to see Dakota?
You know, we'd like to continue with the Dakota Contender and have the platform for the startups, you know, the guys turning pro. A lot of amateur stars in this province, guys that win national titles and stuff like that. And we've actually been contacted by a team from Edmonton, Southside Legion Boxing Club. They've been in business since 1946, so they're one of the oldest clubs in the country. They said if any of their athletes turn professional, it's going to be with Dakota. So that's a big compliment for us. These guys are coming from Edmonton and willing to fight for us here locally in Calgary. So we do see the bigger shows coming back, the fight night, you know, lights, camera, action, and being fully televised and all that stuff. And, you know, obviously in the bigger arenas in the future. So we've got a couple things that we're working on. And put it this way, I miss most of the things that we go for. So what you do see, pretty good, but we miss a lot. And, you know, we're always on and we're always shooting for the stars. So we're making boxing, you know, back to where it should be. And it's going to be bright for Dakota.
Well, it's been fun watching and following along as you guys continue on this path. And it'll be fun to watch along as it continues again beyond now. Thank you so much for how open you guys have been with the show and how willing you guys have been to come on at a moment's notice anytime. It's been a huge help. And again, one of our favorite relationships developed has been with you guys. So thank you so, so much for the help over the last year and a bit. And I know we'll be chatting again very soon.
Thank you, Mike.
Hey, right on, guys. Thank you, and best wishes, and you're part of the success of Dakota, so you always got a spot ringside anytime you want. Put the headset on and come and call a fight.
Absolutely love that.
And I was just going to say, now that it is our final show, I have to say, one of the most fun experiences I've ever had in broadcasting history, or in my broadcasting career, was calling fights, and I fell in love with it. I only did it once, but I fell in love with it. So, yes, thank you
so
much, Mike.
Yeah, you guys got the perfect voices for it. You're awesome.
Well, thank you very much, sir. Again, it's been a blast, and we will chat soon.
Right on. Thanks, guys.
So there you go, Mr. Boxing in Calgary, Michael Short from Dakota. Again, their next event is coming up March 30th at the Deerfoot Inn and Casino. Get your tickets now at Dakota.ca. It has been cool to kind of follow their growth our show has gone on.
Just the evolution of the product anyways, because,
yeah.
I mean, Dakota was still a thing before we even did anything with them. But, yeah, just seeing it now, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. And you know, just talking to Mike, it's, for me anyways, it's awesome seeing the sport of boxing grow and the sport of kickboxing in Calgary anyways.
Yes.
Because when I did it, it was, well, MMA specifically, it was at its infancy in Calgary. It was at its, like, quote-unquote, dark days.
Mm-hmm.
And it was difficult. It was difficult finding fights. It was difficult watching fights. But now seeing the sport of boxing, and now, you know, as Mike was saying in the interview, K1. We're getting K1 in Calgary. Me as a former kickboxer, like, that's incredible. I wish I had that way back in the day. But now it's awesome seeing. So, oh my God, it's incredible. It's awesome.
Yeah, no, and that's... I think, like, we've seen and been able to do and been able to talk with a lot of awesome people on the show, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on here. But one of my favorite parts of this has been seeing the growth of boxing, both, like, in this city and on an international level as well. Like,
absolutely.
We came into this thing at the perfect time
for
covering boxing.
We did, yep.
Yeah, it's been quite the run here for boxing the last little bit. It's been quite the run for both of us,
mm-hmm.
and now it comes to a close.
Yep.
Up next, our final segment.
The final one on Combat Central.
And very fitting that the combat sports world does not let us ease our way out. We have a UFC card to get ready for.
It's damn true.
Yeah, so we will do that. And then
it's a hell of a card, by the way.
Oh,
it's fantastic.
So good. We will cover that and so much more. The final segment of Combat Central next here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Combat Central continues with G. Rana and Peter Klein on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
One final segment for Combat Central, and we break down one of the more intriguing UFC cards in the last little while. It's great. UFC 235 later on tonight going down from T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. Three fights being featured on the poster for this one. A lot of intriguing fights on this card. John Jones taking on Anthony Smith for the lightweight championship. The welterweight title on the line. Tyron Woodley takes on Kamaru Usman. Also on this one, Robbie Lawler against Ben Askren. You also have Cody Garbrandt, who's fighting Pedro Munhoz. Jeremy Stevens against Zabit Magomed Sharipov. Misha Serkinov is facing Johnny Walker.
Oof.
This is Mickey Gall against Diego Sanchez.
Oof.
This is a good card.
Dude, oof. One of the best cards that we've had so far.
Going to do a lot of novel reading watching this one tonight, hey?
I made a mistake last time. Every time that I watch UFC, we've talked about this.
Put the phone away.
Yeah.
Put the phone away.
Yeah.
Don't need it.
Yeah.
Don't need it.
But I just feel that people need to hear or need to see my expert analysis, even though my expert analysis is me just cussing like there's no tomorrow. Ugh. I'm gonna try to just limit it down for for this
old man yells at clouds.
Yeah.
John Jones against Anthony Smith for the light heavyweight championship of the world.
Yeah.
We all know the story of John Jones has been interesting to say the least. But he is
sad.
Back. He picks up a win over Alexander Gustafsson back on the final card of 2018, where he wins the vacant UFC light heavyweight championship. Now he is defending it against Anthony Smith, who has won three in a row, six of his last seven. It's been an impressive run for Anthony Smith. His last six wins, all coming by way of knockout. I don't think this is close, though. This is a guy deserving of a title shot who's about to get throttled by the champion.
This is the lamb going to slaughter.
Okay.
This is...
Yeah,
this is John Jones' fight to lose. He has everything that Anthony Smith can do, John Jones just does it a little bit... Well, not a little. He does it better.
Yeah.
The thing that Anthony Smith has, though, he can go for broke here. He can swing to the fences like there's no tomorrow. This is his, like, he has nothing to lose in this fight. So I expect Anthony Smith to be, hey, when I'm down on the scorecards, even if I make it out of the first round, I'm just going to swing for the fences.
Yeah, which is kind of basically what he has to do.
Exactly.
John Jones, at the time we are recording this, coming in as a minus 900 favorite on the card.
And by the time that we're recording this, has not failed the drug test that we know of yet.
Well, actually, he did test positive.
Yes, yeah.
There are a couple other fairly big favorites on this card, but John Jones clearly the biggest.
Yes.
The next closest is -500 give you a bit of a indication of that. Also, there are props released for these, like, oh, hey, when's this fight going to end? Will the fight go the distance? No is a clear favorite at -850, which is just, as someone who pays attention to these kind of things, that might be the biggest I've ever seen.
I'm you know me, I'm not a huge... person into this.
Yeah.
But I was going to ask, how do you see John Jones winning this? For me, second round TKO.
Yeah, I think this is a pretty quick one. I might even say first round.
Okay.
TKO.
Yep.
would be my guess for sure. But yes, it is. I don't think it'll be that long. And that's, again, none of this is a slight against Anthony Smith, the fighter. It's just there are levels to this game, and John Jones is a couple ahead.
Yes.
A more intriguing fight for the welterweight championship as Tyron Woodley goes up against Kamaru Usman. Colby Covington has done his best work.
Being just a complete and total POS.
Yeah. But even in this last little bit here with the megaphone and all of that, trying to disrupt this fight, Tyron Woodley, riding a 3-fight winning streak, has not been defeated since 2014. There was a draw in the middle of this. So he won 3, a draw, and then wins 3 more. The most recent, a submission victory over Darren Till back in September of last year at UFC 228.
Just made Darren Till look like a rank amateur.
Yeah. For Kamaru Usman, he starts his career 1-1. He's now 14-1. It's been an impressive run, culminated with wins over Damian Maia and Rafael Dos Anjos back in 2018 after he started the year with a win over Emil Weber Mech. This is, again, an intriguing fight, but it is one where I don't think this one's all that close either, to be perfectly honest. I think anything Kamaru Usman does, Tyron Woodley does better.
Agreed, but this is the fight that gave me the most, when I was analyzing this in my head a few weeks ago, this is the one that kind of gave me more pause out of any of these fights. Just because, yes, anything Kamaru Usman does, Woodley does better. But Kamaru Usman does have youth, and he does have, I think, the physical strength on his side.
Okay.
I feel that in order for him to win, he's going to have to wear down Tyron Woodley. If Woodley can get in with an uppercut or load up that right hand or make a combo with that right hand, this fight is his.
Yeah.
This fight is his easily. But Usman, though, he can wear down an opponent. And I feel that if that's his game plan going into Woodley, I feel like he can take this. But with that said, I do have Woodley winning this fight.
Yeah, I have Woodley winning this fight by knockout as well. I just think...
I have third round TKO for me.
Okay. Yeah. I think Usman's ability to wear down Woodley is kind of countered by the fact that Woodley might be a better wrestler than him anyway. Yeah, so it's a bad matchup to me for Kamaru Usman.
But it's a very intriguing fight.
Robbie Lawler going up against Ben Askren. We're kind of going to have to kind of rapid fire these next couple ones. Robbie Lawler, Ben Askren. This seems fairly simple. Lawler. If the fight goes to the ground, Ben Askren wins. If the fight stays standing, Robbie Lawler beats the hell out of him.
Lawler takes this fight regardless.
I'm going to go Askren.
Okay.
Cody Garbrandt again. We don't have a show next week, so I'm not going to be held accountable.
Geez, mortal enemy.
You can't pick
way
Ben
back in the day.
Yeah, you can't pick Ben Askren in his first fight. Cody Garbrandt against Pedro Munhoz, an interesting fight at bantamweight. I get I'm
Garbrandt.
So many times we see fighters get to that pinnacle and they never get back to that level. I wonder if we see that with Cody Garbrandt. I'm going to go Pedro Munhoz.
I got Garbrandt in this one.
That's going to do it for main card predictions. Also, as I mentioned, Misha Serkinov is on this fight card against Johnny Walker, who's been an absolute beast at 205 pounds. Jeremy Stevens taking on Zabit Magomedsharipov in an intriguing fight there. So definitely check this one out on pay-per-view.
I'm going to tweet out as best as possible.
Please don't.
Let's see if I can get to the main event.
Okay.
Yeah.
See if the entire book series is done by the time. That's going to do it for the UFC breakdown, and that's it.
That's it.
Combat Central is a wrap. We came up with this idea a while ago, and it's kind of funny. Like, I think we were both individually thinking, you know, I should really do a fighting show. And then our paths crossed. It's like, hey, we should do a fighting show.
Yeah, man. Well, I remember, like, I came back to Rogers Radio in 2016, in October 2016.
Yeah.
And, it was just one of those transition things where you were doing afternoon traffic.
Yep.
And I was doing evening traffic, and on our way, because we've known each other for years.
Yep. Because we did these before.
Yes, absolutely. And so, I asked you, hey, man, what are you working on? And you're just like, yeah, I have this idea. I wanted to do a fight show, but I want to do wrestling in it. And at this point, I was kind of getting back into the wrestling groove. You didn't know this about me, but I was kind of getting into the wrestling groove. And I asked you, want to do what we used to do?
Yes, I do.
And we did.
Yeah.
So I think our first show was, what, December of 2016?
Yeah.
Yeah, so since then.
December 2016 in the weather booth down at 660.
Sharing one mic.
Yeah, that's the thing. We were sharing. I would get people who text me, hey, you guys need to turn the mics up. Yeah, no, it's turned up plenty loud. Yeah. We're just like, we would sit.
Got one mic.
We would sit as close as possible. Like, that is the closest I have ever been to a human being, like physically. doing a radio, like we're just sitting there, yeah. just talking into one mic, yeah. and we'd have to turn the mic off during interviews, which got a little bit awkward at times. If someone would make a joke or something, we couldn't laugh. Like, we're just no-selling them.
Yeah.
So, and then we were able to come up here and do these. I do want to thank Kelly Kirsch for giving us this opportunity.
Absolutely.
I think it was a fairly big step for me in getting to where I ultimately ended up. So very happy that we were able to do this. Started some great relationships with the people at Dakota, the guys at CWE, also RCW. We had some real good chats with the boys from there and with PWA. Didn't get them on as much as I would have liked to. That's all on me. And overall, admittedly, this is a little bittersweet because... first of all, I do want to make it very clear. This was our decision. We're not getting kicked off the air by any stretch of the imagination. But it's just we both have more full-time things that need our attention. Yeah. And this is and we're getting paid an experience for these shows.
I was just going to say, so, and people, you know, people think that, hey, you guys do a radio show. Money must be good. Listen.
Yeah, nope.
Listen.
We got paid an experience and free tickets to things.
Like I said, we've been doing this show since December of 2016. Didn't get it sent for it.
No.
The only reason why we did this is we love what we do.
And
we love talking about what we do.
Yeah. It turned into a pretty good way to highlight some good local talent as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
The thing I'm proudest about this show
yeah.
for.
And I mean, well, sorry to cut you off, but I mean, we talked to Mr. Boxing earlier in the program. And for me, being a local fighter here way back in the day.
Yeah.
Seeing the sport of boxing grow is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And now seeing kickboxing bring up into the fold and then MMA as well. So it's awesome for me.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It's been a lot of fun. Admittedly, the show didn't get to where I wanted it to get to. And that a lot of that is on me.
A lot of it is just like, again, it's one of the reasons why we had to say goodbye to the program is our schedules.
Yeah.
Our schedules are just all over the place. And yeah, I mean,
yeah, I had a lot of ideas that I wanted to put into the show, but just the way things were set up, it didn't make sense for me to put that much time and attention into this thing. I do hope that it was, I do hope that it was a good show anyway. Mm-hmm. And I was happy that we were able to get spotlights for the relationship with Ring of Honor too, was good one
yeah.
to be able to set that up. That led to some pretty cool experiences for us. The show never got to where I wanted it to get to, and I do take a lot of the responsibility for that, but I'm happy with where we were able to get it to. We only have a couple moments here.
Yes.
Favorite moments or anything from the show?
I got a couple. Interviewing Cody.
Yeah.
I think that was awesome because this is a guy who, you know, could have just easily stayed in WWE
mm-hmm.
and decided to take his own path, and now he's doing incredible things.
Yeah.
And when we interviewed him, he was like, I think, 6 months out of WWE, so that was cool. Also covering UFC, that was awesome for me, just because you met back in 2012 when UFC came to Calgary.
Yeah,
I broke my leg.
Yeah,
couldn't do anything about it. I was out for 6 months, and that sucked. And so now, actually being at the Dome and covering it and doing the radio show, and then being able to just sit less than 15 feet away from the cage. And
hearing the punches,
hearing everything. And then like you and I just sitting next to each other and I have my little scorecard and, you know, just doing my little thing. That was like the crowning thing. But honestly, I fell in love with boxing commentary. I know I've only done it once.
Yeah.
But I want to keep doing it.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. That was a huge highlight for me. The UFC one was too. Personally, just schedule wise, it didn't work out for you to be able to come in. Getting to interview Ron Simmons was.
Oh, I bet.
And just. Talking to Ron Simmons about Owen Hart was one of the coolest things that that I was able to do in this whole experience. So getting to do that, the Jim Neidhart tribute show something that will stand out for sure. Cody, Adam Cole was really awesome.
Oh my God.
To be able to interview him as well. A lot of it, covering the UFC, covering boxing was unbelievable.
Yeah. Also, you were here when I had to say goodbye to my old coach.
Yep.
Who passed away last year. That was
That
was extremely difficult, but it was something I needed to do.
Yep.
So again, still to Max's family, I'm with you and thank you. So that was awesome.
Yeah.
That was something I needed to do.
Yes, and I was happy you were able to do that.
Yeah.
This is the end for Combat Central. We are I talked to Kelly for big shows. We might come back, just depending on scheduling things for just like kind of one-off type of things.
Sweet.
So this will be, we'll still have a platform. I'm hoping to do a bit more fight stuff in the nine. But that's going to do it.
There
Combat
it is.
Central. It's been a fun run,
yes.
But it is coming to an end. It is a big night for sports here in the city of Calgary. So we're going to stop blabbering on. And there's some jersey retirement thing that's happening later tonight.
Or something.
Something. So
that was pretty good.
For one final time, he's G-Rana. I'm Peter Klein. This was Combat Central on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.